This is my story. This is my song. Praising Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. To God be the glory for the great things that He has done. I will bless the Lord at all times. It is fitting that His praise continually be in my mouth, for He never leaves me, He never forgets me, He never fails me, He never forsakes me. He is my very present help in all of my trouble, in every season, every storm, in every circumstance. I have found Him to be faithful. And so I declare I love You, Jesus, more than anything. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to show it. So when I lift my hands, I don't care what you think about me. When I throw back my head, I don't care what you think about me. When I scream at the top of my voice, I don't care what you think of me, because I love Him more than anything. More than anything. I love You, Jesus, more than life itself. With my whole heart, I will praise You. With my whole heart, I will praise You. With my whole heart, I will. If nobody else will, I will. If I'm all by myself, I will bless Your name. Hallelujah! 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Nobody but You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You brought me when I couldn't bring myself. You kept me when I couldn't keep myself. You loved me when it was hard to love myself. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You. Now, Lord, we pray that You would again speak to us. God, come and be with us. Your presence is welcome and required. We cannot go until You come. But in the meantime, in this season of our waiting, just to know that You're with us. May the glory fall in this place. Lift us higher. Steady us. Strengthen our legs, our limbs. Oh God, give us courage. Give us this day. And we will hear Your voice. And we we will know the way, and that we will follow. And when we get home, when we get home, we're going to tell you, thank you. Thank you for all of it. The trial and the tribulation, the setback, the struggle. We're just going to thank you all day long. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hear our prayer. Open again our eyes and our ears, and God, let us hear from you in Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and give God some praise. Come on, you love him. Come on, just wave at him. Just let him know that you feel him passing by. Hallelujah. If Bartimaeus could call out, I know you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. Turn on your tablets. Turn on your other electronic devices. If you'll go to Proverbs chapter 5, the Old Testament of the Bible, you get to the book of Psalm. It is the next issue thereafter. If you just slow down when you get to the latter part of the Psalm. And Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5. And when you get to Proverbs 5, if you would come join me and others at verse 22. I have a New Living Translation Bible, and I pray that you will be conformable and comfortable as well as compliant with the version that you may have. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some available for you. So I pray that everybody's got something in their hand right now related to the Word of God. Don't come in God's house and be a renegade. Amen. Grab a Bible. Amen. If you're not near a Bible, slide down next to the person next to you. And look on that electronic device. Make sure they done pulled up the Bible. Amen. They might be texting or something on Facebook. Tell them, that ain't the Bible. That's Facebook. Don't be Instagramming and Pinterest right now. Just go to the Bible. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 5. Again, my New Living Translation Bible reads at verse 22 of Proverbs 5. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his incredible folly. God bless you. You may be seated in this sacred place and in this hour. Again, God bless you for your presence today. I want you to again do me a favor. I won't use the usual format. Again, this is declaration season. And so you need to declare out of your own mouth what I'm about to ask you to declare. And if you find it unseemly to declare this, so be it. Last week, I asked you to find someone that would hold you accountable to the declaration that you were about to make, and that declaration was that you're not backing up and you're not backing down. I don't know if that person is still with you this week. I don't know if you've changed seating arrangements, and maybe you weren't here last week, but today I need you to make another declaration, and this declaration is a more of a timely issue that came about. It is not necessarily the path in which I was designed to travel toward the end of this year, but recent events caused me to look upon this topic and this declaration that we now make. So if you would be so kind and find someone that would hold you accountable and make this declaration. Now, again, if you hear the declaration and you don't like it, then okay, you're not preaching, I am. But anyway, the declaration is as such, Eric and company. Look at a neighbor, look at a person who will hold you accountable, and tell them, I'm trying to make it through this mess because of the mess I'm in. Amen. I'm trying to make it through this mess because of the mess I'm in. You're probably thinking already, well, you don't know that much about me, Reverend. Well, what I do know is what the Bible says about you. I want you to understand, beloved of God, that the Bible is written by those who were divinely inspired by God, but it is God's end time revelation for us that we would live according to the Word of God. No preacher should take the avenue of entertaining the people of God just to make you feel good about coming to church. What we must do is stand and declare, thus saith the Lord. Every sermon is not about being warm and fuzzy. There must be a time when we look at ourselves and see ourselves not as we are reflected in the mirror, but as God sees us. And so what I am saying to you is the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so you're in a mess. And you're going to have to figure out a way to get through the mess. Because here is the only alternative to not getting through a mess is staying in the mess. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Either you're going to get through it or stay in it. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are in a mess. Nudge somebody underneath, do it undercover, do it on the low, but just go ahead and admit with me so I can get to my preaching that we're in a mess. Let me tell you what made me shift my gears, because, again, my initial intention, Brother Deacon, was to preach a few sermons of courage and a few sermons to internalize for us as we push toward the end of this year. So things like the Lord will answer, I'm not backing up, I'm not backing down. Those things were to make us leave out of here going, you know what? Yeah, I can go for it. But you, like me, probably sat on Friday and were captivated by what happened in Paris. I'm sure that me, you, and thousands, if not millions of others, sat in front of those televisions or listened to the radio or went on the internet and thought to yourself, what is happening to us? Why do we do stuff like this? And we said we because we're all about the same. I know you may not have strapped an explosive device to your chest recently. Amen. Just said ever. How about not yet? You may not have went into a bar or stadium with innocent people with the intent to just shoot people. A few months ago, on a Bible study night, a young man walked into a church in Charleston, South Carolina. Sat through Bible study. Strapped. And at the end of Bible study, just killed people. A few years ago, a lady in South Carolina put her children in the car, strapped them in their car seats, gave them candy, and drove into a river. What is happening to us? It's not just Paris. A few weeks ago, in one of the countries of one of the continent on the continent of Africa, a mob
mob of rebels killed 147 people for no reason. We're in a mess. And the Bible says that an evil man or woman is held captive by his own sin. And all have sinned. Everybody in a struggle. And we need to stop dressing up playing church. Because naked we going to stand before God. There won't be a suit or a dress or a choir robe or a clerical item that's going to hide us from God, because sin is going to reveal us. Your grandmama and my grandmama's right. What you doing to dog? May not come to light before us, but God, who sees and knows everything, is not happy with us. And so it is. I saw that. I kept thinking to myself, what's next? According to the report, security was heightened. Everybody did their job. But evil has a way of manifesting. Even under the tightest scrutiny, the devil tries to win. Y'all ain't saying nothing. There's a movie James Bond made some years ago where he starred in it, Sean Connery, and the title of the movie was Never Say Never. And just kind of led me to this part of the preach. I'm not going to take up much time, but there are things that we have never done. And the only thing we can truly declare is that we haven't done it yet. Most people who commit crimes had not committed that crime yet. They did it the first time. They call them crimes of opportunity, crimes of passion, crimes that have been well thought out. But the fact of the matter is, we are in a mess because the devil won't leave us alone. Some of you sitting here now have already declared yourself perfect, infallible. You never do thus, that, and the other. Keep on living. There are a whole lot of folk who ain't never done nothing. That's how they come up with the term first offender. Because they never done nothing. Look at your name and say, you know. How many guns you say you got? Why you keep sharpening that knife? We're in a mess. I asked myself, Dr. Corbett, could I do that? Could I get pushed by the devil to the point that I commit crimes against innocent people? It's almost Christmas time here. And we're going to hear about it again. Every year we hear these stories about folk who shoot people in Walmart because they took the last Cabbage Patch Kid. Or fight in the parking lot because you took my parking place. Your name ain't on that stall. It's 1,000 parking places in the parking lot. And because you want to be 6 paces closer to JCPenney, you going to haul up and slap somebody. Could I get so frustrated with my marriage that I kill my wife and then kill my kids and then kill myself? Could I get so angry with a deacon or a trustee that the church meeting turns into a massacre? Could I get so frustrated because you stepped on my blue suede gaiters that I fight you over a scuff mark? I think yeah on that one. No. The devil says, I'll try you. You think Satan's scared of you? You think because you sing on a choir or preach in a pulpit or you pray or walk around with your big, thick Bible on your arm that you are exempt from the mess. You're vulnerable. Because when you think more highly of yourself than you are, Satan says, I got you. I can bring you down because you're so lifted up. And you know the taller they are, the farther they got to fall. Paul lends himself, Solomon, sit down for a minute. Paul lends himself to say in Romans 7, he said, you know, the stuff I don't want to do.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Just me and Dr. Corbett going to say yes? Anybody else going to? Y'all going to abstain? You can't abstain. Paul said, I know I'm messed up. I have an eternal warfare going on, and it's not just me. All of us are struggling with something that's going to mess us up. And I got to get through this. Paul reminds us, he says, you know, I'm trying to maintain, but this mess won't leave me alone. You and I like to look at Paul, Lady D, when we talk about him with that thorn. Everybody got a thorn. Don't look at me like that, Jennifer. I said everybody. Deacon Davis, what you looking at me for? You got one. Then Lord tell it three or four. Everybody's fighting with something that makes us miserable. Something that makes us hang our head. Yes, you got a two for one, but there's always something. It's a mess. And I'm trying to get through it. That's why Paul said, help me. Help me. I don't need you to remind me of what's wrong with me. I know that. You drink too much. You smoke too much. You gamble too much. You stay gone too much. You ain't never here for the kids. Blah, 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 blah. Says Charlie Brown's teacher. Help me. You see him in a mess. Help me. Paul says, I would do better. And sometimes I do, but not all the time. Look at somebody that means something to you, somebody who will respond to you, and tell them, you're not going to win all the time. But it don't make you a loser. Come on, finish it. You're not going to win all the time, but that don't make you a loser. Paul said, Solomon, you're right. I'm in bondage. It's right there in the text, Lady Ava. He said, there are ropes that catch me and hold me. If I could have got away, I'd have got away. If I could have quit, I'd have been quit. Can I tell you what the hardest part about quitting? Starting. Because there are some things, y'all ain't going to shout back at me. I'm going to finish here directly. But there are some things that you would have never had to quit if you hadn't started. Yeah. Amen. Oh, okay. Amen. All right. Amen. Signify if you want to. If you've never started. You don't worry about quitting. And you hadn't always been doing what you're doing. You started doing that. You didn't always think like you think. You started thinking like that. You weren't always mean, hateful, and ornery. You started being like that. Now that you have been exposed for it, you want to act like, well, it's just the way I is now. You ain't always been like that. Find five people, move around and tell them, you ain't always been like that. I'll get with y'all when y'all finish. Oh, the house in order? Some of y'all been wanting to tell them, go ahead. You can even preface by saying, well, the pastor said, and I just want to help him move along in the preaching.
Here it is. Paul says, okay, I know what God requires. I just can't do it. Those people died. They're 120 plus. They're not the first group. The guys that the people, the perpetrators, that's police terminology, they're dead. So we'll never know. That's the part that kicks it. And it's unexplained. Nobody can tell us why. That's why I'm telling you that we're in a mess. Because you're going to do something and you're not going to even be able to tell us why. You were a child and mama used to catch you shoulders up, head down. Mm-hmm. Why'd you do that? I don't know. They sit you there for 40 minutes. How many of y'all had that scenario where until you can explain it, you go sit over there and then you come back and some of us would have died in that same corner if mama hadn't said, well, just come on out of there. You just go sit down until you can come over and tell me why. Years go by. You collecting Social Security. Still sit, what are you doing? I'm trying to think of why. Here's what he says. I'm going to hurt. Paul says, I realize now what's happening. It's in verse 14 of Romans 7. You don't have to turn there. I'll explain it to you. He said, I am flesh, but I've been sold into bondage. It's got me. That's what Paul said. I'm flesh, which creates the first vulnerability. Then he says, I've been sold into the bondage of sin. Yeah. Now your question is, and I feel your spirituality coming at me in droves, who sold him? Did the Lord sell him? Did the Lord wash his hand of Paul and Benny like Paul and said, now I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind? No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Who sold him, Pastor? We just got to know. He sold himself. Oh, now y'all really don't want to talk back to me.
Come on back.
Look at yourself. Get your mirror out and say, I did it. I did it. I put myself in this mess. I know I'm crying too, baby. I did it. I'm my own infliction. The man captivated by sin is in ropes and chains. And he did it to himself.
Yes, sir.
And then you want to blame us. Y'all didn't help me. We didn't hook you either. I'm captivated by it. I like it. Most of us are only going to become free when we admit we like bondage. Oh, y'all quiet. Somebody saying that. Go back to them encouraging sermons, Reverend. No, I'm going to finish this one. Paul said, I realize what's happening. He says, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how great God is. I know that his word has power, but I did it to myself. People say things like, well, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. Yeah, we did that too. How do you say that? Cain killed Abel. Ain't nobody telling you. His mom didn't say, look here, when you get outside this afternoon, y'all finish cleaning up the field, kill your brother. That was his decision. I didn't read a verse of scripture that he prayed about it, didn't ask God about it. God didn't say, kill him for me. God could have killed him himself. He made a decision. Can I talk long through here? It's 21 minutes after. You need to go ahead and realize that your detriment starts with your decision. That's level one good shouting preaching. Your detriment starts with your decision. Don't be talking about they talked me into it. They coerced me. You made a decision. And because you had corrupt information, you came to a corrupt conclusion. How many of you ever got mad at somebody
and don't even know why you're mad at them because somebody else told you they said something? How many of you stop speaking to people because somebody told you they said something, or somebody said they did something, or some rumor, or some phone call, or some text, and before you had information, you flew off the handle? Watch this. How many times has something happened to you and you said this? I knew that was going to happen. I knew you was going to. You don't know nothing. In the famous words of Mr. Diddley, you don't know Diddley. Whoever Mr. Diddley. Bo knows Bo. But here it is. He said, okay, I'm in a situation. Solomon says that the ropes have captured me and hold me. Paul says that's bondage. Yes. See, we don't like words like that, Mrs. Scott. Perhaps you English masters could teach more of the word bondage. It is a devastating word that is applicable to all who are present. Some of y'all took the high road on me and ain't came back yet. When I first started the statement, you didn't even want to say that. I ain't in no mess. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Liar. Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on.
How do you say that, Pastor? Our church don't look like that. Our community don't look like that. All these saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost folk, where they at? They ain't in Brooklyn, they down in Brookfield. I can tell you that right now. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost ought to be reflected in the tithes and offering. Ought to be reflected in Bible study. Ought to be reflected in noonday. Ought to be reflected in morning academy. There ain't no such thing. Liar. Some of y'all right now sitting here done ruffle your feathers, done fold up your tent, and got your knife in your pocket. That's why I don't come every Sunday, because he talked like that. No, you need to come every Sunday. Because I talk like this. Yes, you done got fat on ice cream and cake and prosperity ministry. And then you going to be this and you going to be that. You going to hell.
Yeah.
Eric, get up here. I feel a bum rush coming. You're going to have to stop some people. Tim, you got this side. Paul said, it's When I was a trooper, I could put people in handcuffs. They give us handcuffs with the little chain, and you can do this. I bought the kind where you can't do that. Because you don't need no flexibility. They're handcuffs for a reason. I put them on people, and they said, these too tight. I said, it's not jewelry. bracelet supposed to be loose. My watch is loose. This ain't jewelry, son. You on your way to jail. And you need to start practicing how it's going to feel. Paul said it's bondage. He said, we must understand that our adversary, and this is a silly one, is active. When did somebody put an announcement on the bulletin thing that Satan on vacation? That Satan ain't messing with folk no more. Are you crazy? The adversary is active. Nudge somebody who will listen to you and encourage them to fight the good fight and try not to be next. The Bible says that your adversary is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Tell your neighbor, don't be next. I know you're a deacon, but deacons can be next. Pastors can be next. Wives, husbands, sons, daughters, college students, employed, unemployed, anybody. So Paul says, it's bondage. Solomon says, first understand it is a captivating power that holds us, that sin rules over self. He did. That's point number one of the subpoints. It is a captivating power, so much so that sin rules over self. He said, it's got me. See, again, we done got in the church. All we want to do is clap, shout, spin, flip, praise, dance, liturgical dance, quote scripture, and ain't nobody dealing with the real issue, I'm in trouble. You can't live like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Pastor. What are you saying? You can't just whistle a happy tune. You are in bondage. Sometimes, what makes you feel like doing stuff like that? It's bondage. Paul said, I know the law is good. The problem is not with the word, it's with me. I did this to myself. It is captivating power, and what he says is it will catch and hold. This ain't no catch and release. When Satan gets you, he got you. See, ain't nobody saying amen, but I heard three or four, but I need everybody to go and admit this. He said, listen, let me see if I can help you. How many of you be willing to come down the aisle today, grab the mic, and say, I'm my own worst enemy, I'm being held captive by sin, and I can't help myself? That ain't going to get no praise service going right now. No, what we've gotten used to is folk coming up here lying. I just want y'all to know that. No, I'm too blessed and to be stressed and caught up in it. That's a lie. You sound stressed when you said that. I just want y'all to know that my wife and my husband and we just get along fine. The reality is we are in trouble here. We're captivated. It is our own fault that we fail. Three people, that's it. I got three, that's it. It's right in the text. He says, it makes me unpredictable. Because it's got me, it controls me. Paul says, help Solomon, you turn, sit down, Paul, come here. Paul says, listen, man, I got up this morning with him on my mind, prayed the Lord, I was going to lift up to magnify the name. He said, and I was going to make sure I get my testimony, I was going to pay my tithe, I was going to pay attention, and something happened that the good I would do, I didn't do it. Most of you left home this morning saying, well, I'm going to go and enjoy the worship service, lift up, magnify the name of the Lord. And now this happened. He done gone there. I invited my friend, told my pastor, the energetic, enthusiastic guy, and he done gone there. Well, this is why I can't bring nobody. I don't know where he gonna go. Listen, I'm trying to help you. You ain't gonna never be a better you till you deal with the real you. Can I get you to help your neighbors and they ain't listening to me? You tell them you ain't all that. You a pretty good version of what you is, but you ain't all that. Miss Mitchell, you said it twice. That's a bit much. And you was looking my way. Listen to me. He says, it is bondage. But notice now, he said that the man is held captive by his own sins. Uh-huh. You got to deal with you. You're going to have to deal with you. It ain't my fault. It's not his fault. It ain't R.J. Reynolds' fault. It's not Hennessy's fault. It's not Burger King's fault. You got to deal with your own sin. And there are a lot of sins. Pick one. He said it makes me unpredictable. Paul said, when I would do, I don't. Sometimes I'm the good, sometimes I'm the bad, sometimes I'm the ugly, sometimes I'm faithful, sometimes I'm high and lifted up, sometimes I'm... It's mean. People are looking at me now scared to talk to me because they don't know what I'm going to do. I'm unpredictable. I might be there Sunday. I might not. I may come Saturday. I might not. And people who are dependent on me are finding me less dependable. It's because I'm in a mess. It also brings us to where he talks about doing the unthinkable. I'm about finished. These people just made us look again at ourselves. What happened in Paris could have happened in Appomattox. You know, I sat there the other night while this thing was unfolding, thinking about all of the high school football games that are going on all over the Commonwealth. There's no high security at a high school football game. If someone really wanted to inflict some harm, you could go, man, can you imagine what would happen if terrorists, people with evil intent, went to every high school football game and devastated the community by detonating a... Our kids are out there. Name of two deputies out there. One of them fat and the other one sleep. They ain't watching nothing. They ain't watching the game. It don't have to be Paris. It's Appomattox. It's Lynchburg. People do the unthinkable because of sin. Because the evil one is running rapid. And it's time for us to put Satan in his place. That's what it is. It is time for the people of God to fight the good fight. Stop letting Satan run your house and run our church and run your business, mess up your marriage, drive your children away. Fight. Gird up your loins. Sharpen your sword. Put on your armor. Fight. Paul said, there's something going on in me. I'm going to have to do something. So he recognizes that there is the captivating power. He also helps us to understand, and this is critical that you get this, because if you don't get this one, you're going to miss it. It controls you. It is a controlling power. Satan does not want to share control. He wants control. And he tells us, he said, listen, it's no longer me. That's a submission. That's a surrender. He said, it's not me. I'm not doing this anymore. But the sin that dwells in me. Here's the argument. Here's where the rub comes. And you can get ready. Christ says, I want all of you. Satan says, I want all of you. There are opposing forces. I want all of you. The body cannot be a temple of God if it is a resort for Satan. You get that? Can't be. So there's a fight. And so Paul says that the power is not mine anymore, but the sin that dwells in me, that's God's place. And until God takes up full residence, y'all getting quiet? You cannot have a Sunday God and live your life without winning the battle. You gotta have control. God's got to be the chief strategist. God's got to order your steps so you don't walk into foolishness. God's got to control your mind so you don't think crazy. God's got to be your master so you don't submit to someone else. You got to give God control. Because the competition is fierce. Paul says, I'm going to have to do something. Because the controlling power is not mine. Even the Lord reminds us we are not our own. We are under the authority of God. Satan, the adversary, wants to challenge that authority. And what we like to do is submit to that which is more favorable rather than that which causes us to be more faithful. Because if Satan will let you have a little, you'll take that. When God said no, you look for the alternative answer. You did it with your mom and your daddy. Mama told you no, you slipped around there and gave Daddy a little kiss on the face and said, Daddy, you know how much I love you more than anything. Can I go to the football game with Raheem? Mama just don't understand. Well, it ain't nothing but a football game. Okay. You didn't like the no. And see, that's what we do. Long as God's saying yes, I love you, Jesus. I love you more. When God says no, see, I don't go to church. I've been praying about a job. I ain't got no job. Well, you didn't finish school. That would have helped you. You know, it's some cause and effect stuff happening here. So he said, I'm in a situation where I'm no longer in control. Paul says Satan's power persuades us. How many of you have ever told yourself no and sat there for hours holding on to no and then said, well, whatever. I'm just going to go for a little while. That's persuasion. How many of you ever had that happen? Satan just keep on coming at you. And before you know it, you got on one shoe. No, I ain't going to go. You took off the shoe. You put the shoe back on. Then you got on a pair of breeches. And then you took the... No, Satan persuades us. He tried it with Jesus. I'm going to let you go. He tried it with Jesus. He told him, you ain't going to hurt yourself. He has put angels in charge to catch you. You won't even dash your foot on a rock. Jump, Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you can't persuade. The word says. And this is why you can't win. You don't have no word. You're trying to get by on your Sunday school lesson from when you were in primary class with Miss Jones back then. You 50 years old. You don't come to Bible study. You don't come to Christian Academy. And you're trying to fight warfare with a Sunday school lesson from when you were 9 years old. Satan laughing at you. Satan know more word than you do. Y'all don't like me now. He said he's trying to persuade me. Unless you know the alternative, you don't realize how to win. Yeah. Then he says, we are possessed by it. Why? Because Adam failed. Yeah. Not blaming Adam. But if in fact we are to admit it, Paul told us death came by one man. Yeah. Adam. Yeah. I am convinced we were designed by God to live until God said don't live. We could have been here now for now and ever. But death came through one man. But then he says something I like. As much as it came through one man did death, life comes through Jesus. And so it is, he points us past captivating power of sin over self. He tells us about the controlling power of sin and its ability to destroy us, but now he tells us there is a conquering power in Christ. And he tells us, he said, listen, I realize that there's only one somebody who can help me. The pastor can't get me out of this mess. The ministers can't get me out of it. The deacons can't get me out of it. The trustees can't get me out of it. Choir singing ain't gonna get me out of it. Urching ain't gonna get me out of it. Clapping my hands ain't gonna get me out of it. Running around seven times ain't gonna get me out of it. The only thing that's gonna rescue me from this body of death is Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of the world. The only thing that can help me is Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the only help you got is Jesus. He says, because if in fact I could have freed myself, I'd have gone a long time ago. And so he reminds us, he said, what a miserable person I am. Solomon, you can sit down, because all you told us is we dying for lack of control. Paul says, well, you don't have to do this by yourself. What you got to do is fall on your face, lift up your voice, and cry, Lord, have mercy. I feel a little better now. You don't have to go to the right church. You just need to find Jesus. You don't have to get in the right ministry. You just need to find Jesus. And you ain't going to find Jesus trying to go to somebody's concert. You're not going to find Jesus trying to go to another conference. You can find Jesus in your bedroom on your knees and cry, Lord, have mercy. And when you find him, this time don't flake out on him. When you find him this time, follow him. When you find him this time, be faithful. When you find him, stay right there. Paul said, I think I got it now. There is no other help save that which is in Christ Jesus. Solomon, what'd you say? He said, I got one more I can give you to help you. Solomon says in chapter 29 at verse 6, he said, listen, the righteous have an escape route. He said, and that escape is in Christ Jesus. Now, he does not use the word Christ Jesus, but he illustrates it by pointing to the cross. Everything points to the cross. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you look to the cross, you'll find your deliverance. If you look to the cross, you'll find your new help. If you look to the cross, that's where Jesus was when they stretched him wide. If you look to the cross, you'll see the nail holes in his hand. If you look to the cross, you'll see where they pierced him in his side. If you look to the cross, you'll find your help is in Christ Jesus. Because I heard, I said I heard Jesus say, if I be lifted up, I said, if I be lifted up, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, help me lift him up. Help me lift up Jesus. Somebody's child needs him. Some wife needs him. Some husband needs him, because they're caught up in a mess. They're caught up in a conflict. They're caught up in warfare. If I be lifted up. He didn't say lift up the pastor. He didn't say lift up the deacon. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. Look at your name and say, neighbor, the righteous can escape and come shouting for joy, because Jesus saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. Jesus saved. How do you know he saved? He saved me. I once was sinking deep in sin, but Jesus, look at somebody and say, Jesus, he picked me up, turned me around. Didn't he do it? Won't he do it? Say joy, say peace, say help, help, rescue us, redeem us, restore us, and we'll give you joy. If I be lifted up, you want to get out of your mess? Look to the cross. You want to get out of your mess? Lift up Jesus. Bible says, whosoever call upon his name shall be saved. Can you help me find my way to my office by asking your neighbor, are you interested in salvation? Because if you're interested in salvation, it's here. You can come out of your mess if you look to the hills. Look at Calvary's cross. Jesus died to get us out of a mess. The Bible declares it is for this cause. Didn't come for Mercedes, didn't come for luxury apartments, travel plans. What was the call? Sin. What is going to happen to us when we, the church, cannot talk about sin? All we want you to do is rub us on our head, tell us how wonderful we are, and just cuddle up to us and tell us, you weeping may endure for the night with joy coming. You weeping because you're in a mess. We don't want you to tell us what's the true issue. You're a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Don't call me no sinner. The pot calling the kettle black. All of us are part of the cookware ensemble. All of us got some stain. Oh, see, Pastor, I brought my friend so you can just shout us happy today. You done messed it up. We're in a mess. The Bible says that all have sinned. Everybody. Ain't no exemption. Because you're married to a pastor, you don't get no pass. Because you're a deacon. So who cares? You think Satan really care? Your name on your birth certificate don't have deacon nowhere. It's an office of assignment. Greater the assignment, the greater the assault. Satan coming for big fish. I've been faithful. So you say, the Lord going to have the final assessment on that. Everybody that talk faithful ain't faithful. He says, I'm captivated by it. Solomon, thank you. Paul says, it is controlling. How many of you have ever done things and even disappointed and displeased yourself? Because it's controlling. How many of you ever had to put yourself in a timeout? You had to tell yourself to go sit down somewhere. Yeah, nobody else had. You told yourself, I need to go sit myself down somewhere. Because I'm a mess. Before you even got home to get a whooping, you were beating yourself. Mama, come, what are you doing? You trust me, this is what I need to be doing. Let's stand on our feet. I'll let y'all go. Listen to me. Everybody's in a struggle. Some of us are just in a better maintenance program. That's all it is, Lady D. Some of us in a better maintenance program because we have better maintenance capabilities now. We've grown up a little bit. We kind of can see some things now. And we know what the devil tried. Oh, I done seen this one before. Devil ain't going to get me like this. Not this. Now he going to come some better than that. And that's what he does. He said, okay, you said it. Let me see if I can come. And so Paul says, okay, Solomon says it's captivating. It's ropes. It binds us. Paul says it's controlling. Paul then says, and I skipped over this one, it's compelling. Because we do what we do because we like to do it. See, Luther, I knew when nobody going to shout with me because the way the other part was going, I knew if I got to that part, I'm going to lose everybody. We like it. We like drinking. That's why we drink. We like smoking. We like hanging out. We do it because we like it. All of us got some Mikey in us. Everybody remember Mikey? From the Life cereal commercial. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. We like it. We like being the life of the party. That's why we throw parties. People say, ooh, when you throw a party, Lady D, it's on. So we throw more of them. Why? Because we like it. We like the attention. We like the bravado. People tell us, man, you sure can't hold your liquor. You hold more. You like it. You like it when people brag. Boy, you can put them away. Come on, y'all looking at me. It's funny. Don't let me put private detectives on all y'all. It's compelling. Because if it was not compelling, we would stay away from it. That's why we don't lay our hand on hot stoves. That hurts. And it's a long recovery process. What we've learned to do now is take a proper anesthetic towards certain sins
so they don't bother us no more. We take a little anesthetic toward that. We self-heal. Well, I ain't as bad as so-and-so. See, again we go. And because we don't know how bad you really are, we call it progress. Oh, she's doing much better now. That's because we didn't know how bad you really were, because you had us fooled. You in a mess. Let me see if I can get y'all out the door. Dr. Corbett, you're a physician. Is it not imperative that in order for you to effectively minister in medicine field to your patients that they tell you the truth? If you come in and I ask you, how's your blood pressure? Oh, it's fine, doc. How can I help you? Is it not important? Is it not imperative? Is it not a good part of good medicine and practice to be honest with the physician? Tell me why are you here today? Oh, I just came because my wife keeps telling me, you better go on down to the doctor. You got some dominoes in here, doc? Let's play some dominoes. She'll know I was down here. And you got diabetes. You got high blood pressure. You got gout. You can't sleep at night. You're going to the bathroom 7 times a night. You came in here and wasted that copay because you won't be honest. That's probably the best bet. If you want to know, ask their wife. Ma'am, your husband down here. Thank you, doc. I'm glad you called. You need to check his blood pressure. Look at his toenail. He got fungus and, you know, that kind of thing. But here it is. Here it is. You won't be honest with me today either. I'm just telling you. I'm offering you an opportunity to get out of your mess. Come to Jesus. That's the doctor. All you got to do is trust him. This is what he does. He saves folk who've been in a mess. Nobody ever came to Jesus perfect. Nobody ever came to him that didn't need him. Nobody ever called him that already had an answer. Everybody comes to Jesus because they're in a mess. And what I love about him, some of them didn't even call him. He just showed up. He was just coming that way. The Bible said that Jesus happened along and Bartimaeus started screaming. The Bible said Jairus left looking for him, and before he can get to Jairus' house, that woman snuck up on him. Sometimes you just need to take opportunity that Jesus is in the vicinity of where you are with your mess. And I'm telling you that this is the day. I'm just trying to get through this mess I'm in, because I'm in a mess. And I made it. I did this to myself. I ain't got nobody to blame. I did this. It ain't my DNA. It ain't my mom and them fault. Ain't got nothing to do with what my family line is. I chose to do this. But I want to get through it. Because the only way to get out of it is to get through it. And the only way you're going to get through it is to first admit you are in it. You standing there up to your knees in filth. Come on, I'm all right. You ain't going to church Sunday? Nah, I'm fine. I'll catch y'all next week. No, I think you in urgent care. You need to press toward the Lord. Oh, I'm all right. I can handle it. Your skin don't look like you can handle it. Your eyes showing it. No, don't worry about me. I love you. So if you're in this room today, God bless you. Thank you. Didn't mean to trouble your patience so long. But we are doing some crazy stuff, man. Back to the 80s, Jess. We tripping. Hard. I'm watching everything, Darlene. We are not looking much like a church. Because we're in a mess. We don't fellowship properly. We don't greet people. We don't love people. We don't try to help nobody. We're just in a mess. Yes. We we stand away from people rather than get close enough to say, are you okay? We talk to the same people because we become familiar with their lies. So we hear the same lie. When we come up to you, we know what you're going to say. But we're not going to ask you nothing because we're afraid that you're going to expose us for not being who we say we really are. We can't say we love folk and won't even touch you. Or when you walk into church, we look to make sure you don't sit by us. But yet we say we want people to come. You make us real. Strangers will make you real. Ministry will expose you. How you say you want to feed folk and you can't bring one canned good? How can you say you want to love people and you can't even love folk you live in a house with? Something wrong with us. We're in a mess. Satan got us all twisted. And so we're going to come out of this. I got a sermon I was going to preach today. And the title of that sermon was, I'm Coming Out of This. And wait till you read or hear the things that I'm saying you're coming out of. I got a good list. That was going to be, you know, the come behind, not backing up, not backing down. Because I'm coming out of this. And I wrote it on my paper, D-I-S. Because that's how we talk. I know Sir Scott was going to pass out when I told her that. But I just wanted to be real. I'm coming out of this. Not this, this. And see, my list was going to talk about some of the dis things. You know, disappointed, discouraged. You know, that was a play on words. I was going to make it work because I'm a preacher. I can make it work. So here it is. He died for your sin. Here's the irony. Jesus dies for our sin. Because we're sinners. Oh, not so ironic after all. Don't be playing today. Don't walk out of here carrying a load you won't have to carry. He died for your sin. Jesus did not die to put you in the lap of luxury. He died for your sin. So go and sin no more, but come to him who is the payment of your sin. Our doors are open for Christian discipleship, that you would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you would accept Jesus Christ, you're in a mess. I've already helped you. You're not the only one. Some of us are just in a better maintenance program. It's called Jesus. He keeps us. That's what he said. He said, I'm a keeper. I will keep thee. I will guide thee. That's our maintenance program. People say, how are you making it? Jesus keeps me. That's what grandma and them was talking about when they sang that song, Jesus keep me near the cross. He's a maintenance worker. He keeps us. The only reason we still breathing is because we kept. Yeah. It ain't because we're perfect. We just kept. So would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Okay. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I keep telling myself don't say it. But see, again, it's routine. It's expected to say I'm sorry. Because I preach 42 minutes. Well, it takes me about that long to get my mind right. Somebody asked me, could you preach shorter sermons? If you could listen faster, I would. But they listen slow, so I take my time. Get the wood hot and all that kind of stuff. You know, we got to bring it in. We got to stoke it. This ain't no microwave. I like my popcorn old fashioned. I like to pop with the oil in it and put it on there and do like this. I don't like that microwave stuff. I don't never get it right. Even with the popcorn button, it still ain't right. But when I got that thing, I can do it. I can see them. So if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, would you come today? Would you come? If in fact, you are in a good maintenance program with the Lord, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to grab somebody's hand. And I need you to look them in the eye. So if you got several hands, you got to pick one somebody. You got to just find one somebody. So you got to pair off. Just find somebody and say this to them. Again, don't say something to somebody that you can't stand up and say it with now. But say this. I'll help you if you'll help me while we lift up Jesus. All right. That's all I need. Ain't more deeper than that. I'll help you. You help me. And lift up Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, somebody in this room is willing to acknowledge, and I myself go first, that we're in a mess. God, I want to be better. I want to serve better. I want to live better. I want to do all of those things that you have charged me, commissioned, called me to do. I can be better than I am right now to your glory. I want to love my family better. I want to love my employers. I want to love my pastor. I want to love my church family. I want to love that stranger that walks in. I want to be better. I want to be a better representative of what it means to be a child of a king. I want to walk into a room and the essence of what I am in you draws people to me to ask me, what must I do? I want to be able to stand up before my family and say, let's have Bible study, and it not seem strange. I want to be able to tell my friends how much I love you and not sound as if I've rehearsed it for the sake of not being exposed. I just want to be better. I want to get out of this mess I'm in. And I'm willing to fight. Because you fought for me. And so God, today I've got to make a declaration that I'll never be like this for the rest of my life. I'll make a change. I admit today that it's not going to be easy because I've got so much to change. I cannot pretend the rest of my life because I'm getting tired of me myself. I've got to do better. I'm in a mess. I've got so much stuff that I need to deal with. And only you can help me. I have tried it by myself. And God, I'll admit, I've had some good runs, but Lord, I want to get out and get out for good. I want to do like Paul said I could do. I want to let old things pass away and all things become new. I want to do like Solomon said, that the righteous have a way of escape and come out shouting with joy. That's what I want. I want to be like David when he said, just give me back my joy and I'll tell everybody about the way that I came and they too can go. I'll do it. Forgive me, Lord, now of my sins, and Lord, have mercy on me. As I prepare to come out of this building called the church, but never leave the body of Christ, stay with me, Lord. Keep me in that maintenance program that I won't fall or falter, but I walk in faith. The Hebrew writer said, that's how the just live. And so that's how I want to live. Lord, if you can use anybody, you can use me. If you can save anybody, save me. If you can count on anybody to be your witness, count on me. I'll let my light shine so that men will see and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for these. Praying, God, for others. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Shake some hands, hug some necks. Beat feet on down to Sam's and Kroger's. And come on back and fill up this mountain. God loves you. Go in peace.